There are giants, giants in this place, giants in my throne room. You are giants. You may see yourself as small. You may see yourself as grasshoppers, but you are giants in my kingdom. And if you can see into the heavenly realms, you will see they are being shaken. They are being moved. They are being moved. The kingdoms of the world are being moved because of the prayers and the praise coming up in this place. So don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. Don't draw back. But know that there are giants in this place, giants in my kingdom that are moving mountains, that are moving strongholds, that are setting the captives free. So don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at what you see. But know in my kingdom, you are moving mountains and you are changing the atmosphere. You are changing things and you're going to see my glory and you're going to see things happen quickly in the days ahead. The things that you've been praying for, things that you've been believing for, sometimes for years, and those things are going to move quickly, says the Lord. And you're going to see a great and mighty move in this place.
Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give you praise. We give my hate today. Pastor Rick, are you just ready? I want to tell you how much I love these people. And that they kept in touch with me and kept encouraging me and sending me scriptures all through all the things that we've been facing, and such an encouragement. And they, relationship, it's all about relationship, people. And we have a heart connection and a spirit connection. And we met each other unusually in a life church in Drayton Valley and found out that they had a connection to Esther. Mostly Esther, but Esther and Bill Ilnitsky. And so we've been in love ever since then. And then I also knew Randy and And so we just have been connected by the Spirit. And so I'm so thankful that you're here. And I just don't want to interrupt what the Spirit is doing with a whole lot of talk. But of course, get your hearts ready to receive. And I know that this is that you are not here by accident, but God brought you here by divine providence. And we love when God does that. And we know you have a word for us. And so please come and share it.
Awesome. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Well, good morning, Liberty. Do we have Liberty here in the USA? In Canada, we're fighting for it. We have some real challenges in our land right now. Arresting pastors. Pastors have been in jail. Others in prison. Lawsuits facing them. Just so many challenges. But you know, there's something on my heart today, really. And in worship, these guys did an amazing job. I think we need to give God thanks for that. Incredible. You know, the greatest miracles in the Bible usually always were preceded. Something went before them of great pain. Do you hear what I just said? You know, how many know when, how many would like your shadow, when you walk down the street, your shadow's there, like there's a shadow right here, and anybody that would just get in my shadow would be just healed and restored. How many, that would be pretty cool, wouldn't that? Well, how many know Peter's shadow healed the sick? And they would bring them out, and they would bring them out in stretchers. They would bring them out in any way that they could. But how many know prior to Peter's shadow healing, how many know he went through hell? Yeah. Come on, he betrayed the Christ. Come on. Yeah. And then afterwards, the Bible says he wept bitterly. That wasn't just in there to take space. He wept bitterly. And then we can look at Job and his wife. And I wrote a book on the secret heroine of the Bible, and I have it here with me. It just came out in November, and that book is it's going to be in its second print in probably by March of this here year. And it's a book of restoration. But how many know Job and his wife together lost 10 kids? Any woman here that's ever, any couple that's ever lost a baby in a miscarriage or a premature death or whatever, you know the pain that that's with, but you multiply that 10 times, okay? I just can't. And when I was writing it, I literally started weeping through the whole chapter. I couldn't contain it. And that's why Job's wife is called the secret heroine of the Bible. She had a faulty belief system, as well as her husband, that, you know, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. So in her mind, God was the one that was taking all these kids away from her. Yeah. And her mind, listen very carefully, her husband was inflicted with disease, and it was God to blame. It's God's fault. But how many know it wasn't God? It was the enemy that did that. And so he comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. And so if you look at this here, and this is what's totally amazing, you go all the way through the Word of God. When the Apostle Paul, and we see that he put his cloak in consent to the martyrdom of the first martyr of the church, Stephen. Yeah. And afterwards, he became the great Apostle Paul, not beforehand. You look at Joseph, and I wish today I could just be released just to go with that whole thing. But I'll just give you just a capsule of it. Joseph never wept when he was sold into slavery. Joseph, it doesn't record it. It doesn't say it in the Bible. When his feet were literally put into fetters, okay, when he was put on the slave market and sold, okay, to Potiphar, he never cried. When he got in, the Lord's presence was with him, but it never records that he wept. When he was betrayed, listen very carefully, by Potiphar's wife and was sold out, and he didn't do anything. He tried to live honorably, but yet he paid an incredible price and was put into the depths of the prison. But God gave him favor even in the depths of the prison. But it doesn't say he wept. We can see again when the butler and the baker, they came in and they both had dreams. One was restored back into the palace under the Pharaoh, and the other was beheaded the next day. And in both of the situations, both Joseph interpreted accurately the dreams. And he said, listen, when you go to the Pharaoh, he said, remember me. Just remember. Just put a word in for me in there. And he forgot about him for 2 more years. And he never wept. But when his brothers came back home and there was a restoration, how many know he wept? When he saw his flesh and blood brother, he saw little Benjamin. He wasn't little now, because Benjamin, listen very carefully, Joseph was sold into slavery at 17 in the prime of his life, and he went from the pit to the palace at 30 years of age. So for 13 years, he had not seen his brother. But add another 7 of the good years onto that. That makes 20 years, yes, and then 2 years into the bad years where there was the famine and the drought and there was no rain and all the crops were wiped out. So 22 years of disappointments, 22 years of pain, 22 years. And then after he had children, he named them Ephraim. God hath blessed me in the land. And he named the other one Manasseh. Come on. And how many know that means causing to forget? How many know forgiveness just doesn't happen? How many know forgiveness is a process that we have to walk through? And you know, we can just go on and just talk about this all the way through the Word of God, okay? In the night in which Jesus, isn't it amazing, of all the revelation the Apostle Paul had of the Passover, he said, in the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread. Literally got into the face of it in the night in which it. But how many know the betrayal came first? But how many know the resurrection came afterwards? See, in our lives, we don't like that. We don't like that. We want the blessing. We want the glory. We want the breakout. We want to see the answered prayer. We want to see it. But oftentimes in life, it's not fair because we live in a fallen world. Come on. And Satan is still the god of this world. It troubles me, listen carefully, when people say God's got everything and everyone in control. No, he's got those, listen, that have yielded to his lordship. They're the ones that he's in control and moving in the earth and doing things in the earth. Yes, amen. God's not the one that brings injustice to people. God's not the one that brings violations to people. The thief is the one that comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. Come on, church. The heroes and the heroines of chapter 11 in the Bible, all of them experienced disappointments first. Yes. How many know there was an Ishmael before there was ever an Isaac? Yes. Yes. Come on now. Yes. And how many know that was like what they had to live with inside that house, the tension, and we're still living with the results of that decision today. Yes. Okay, that happened way back there. But you look at all the heroes and the heroines of the Bible, they all experienced painful situations first, and then the breakout came. what I want to share with you today, and I want you all to go in the book of Matthew chapter 14, if everybody can turn over there. And I believe we're going to start around verse number 10 today. Matthew 14:10. And I want to just pick right up on this here theme. Now, how many know, listen carefully, God is not leaving America the way it is. God's not leaving Canada the way it is. Because the Bible says something different, and it's not, listen, I don't even buy that lie that people have said, well, I've read the book, I know we win at the end. You stay true to God, you're going to win. Come on now. And it's not just going to be at the end, but it's going to be all the way, all right? So this is very important that we understand this here. When God gives us stories in the scriptures and he gives us illustrations, he's teaching oftentimes principles that you and I can live in. Come on. Okay, and these principles are given for you and I for our admonition. They're given for our warning. They're given for our instruction. But they're also given to you and I on how to do life. Okay, and when we listen to the principles of the Word of God and we hearken to those principles, the Bible says be not just hearers of the Word, but be doers of the Word. When we hearken to those principles, there's favor that comes forth. There's an authority that comes forth. There's a blessing that comes forth. And there's a breakthrough that comes forth. But what I've recognized in these here last 45 years, almost 46 years now of ministry, is before the gain, before the advancement, before the breakthrough, there's always pain first. You know, when Kathy, almost 40 years ago, came home one day from the market, she was out there going to the Kitchener Market, probably an hour and something from where she lived at with some of her friends on a Saturday morning, and she came home and the police were in the driveway. And the police are there, and they just said, are you Kathy Doyle? And she says, yeah. And she says, well, we want you to come to the morgue. We believe your husband was killed this morning in a car wreck. Oh, wow. Okay. I was left 39 years ago. My wife decided to leave and move in with somebody, and that's the way it's been now for all these here years. And here I am now raising 3 kids on my own. Yeah, come on, 3 sons on my own, full custody, everything. But how many know we're together now? I didn't like the process of the pain. How many know the process sometimes, can I just say it, it sucks, okay? I just don't like it. I don't like the process, okay? Because the process always has some form of pain in it, okay? But how many know when God says something in the Word and he says it once, that's enough for you and I to heed it. When he said, a virgin shall conceive a child, okay? That's enough for me to believe in the virgin birth. And in most of our tenets of faith, we actually have that. But it's only mentioned once. Come on. When God mentions love one another, one of the hardest things to do is to love one another at times. Because we all have a little part of us that's unlovable at times. Maybe not in Davies, Florida as much because your weather is just amazing up here. But when you get 2 feet of snow this weekend and you're down in Florida, you are very happy, okay? But anyway, you're not digging out your cars and shoveling out and all the other stuff. And plus, you had ice before the snow actually even came. But how many know, but in the Word, when God says the same story 2 times, how many know there might just be something in there for you and I to grab a hold of? But how many know if God uses Matthew and he uses Mark and then he goes and he uses Luke and he says the same story in all 3 of them, how many know that might just be something that he wants to get a hold of, he wants us to learn from, to get a hold of, that can take us to that next level in God? Okay, but how many know that if he says it in Matthew and he says it in Mark and he says the same story in Luke and then he goes and says the same story in John, how many know that's just something maybe would be good for all of us to just pay attention to for just about an hour or a half hour, whatever it's going to be, because there's something valuable there that is a principle that will change your life, that will restore your life, and will get you on track in life. Come on. Okay, and we're going to go there in a moment, but here's the point. Before we get to the good part that I like, there's a bad part. And guess what? Again, Matthew brings out about the bad part. Yep. Mark brings out the bad part. Luke brings out the bad part. John doesn't specifically say the bad part, but the bad part is the beheading of John the Baptist, and he was already in prison when he wrote his book, but when the book was written. Of John. So he was already in prison and he never got out of prison. So John did write about it, but he didn't put it in the script as we would know it. But so how many know if it mentions it four times, there's probably something that God wants to get a hold of. Why am I saying that? I told you something to start. Before the greatest miracles, oftentimes comes the greatest pain. I don't know about you, but I'm not a person that likes to be staying in my home. Last Christmas, they told us in Canada, we can have no more than 5 people in your homes. We couldn't even have anyone last Christmas. I got 28 immediate family members. I got 6 married kids and 16 grandkids. Add that up, that's 28. Me and her is 30. Her brother and my mother-in-law is 32 immediate relatives. Not counting anyone out, and we can't have them all. So guess what we did? We left the country and came to Florida. Okay. I'm a dual citizen, okay? And she couldn't even drive with me, and we lived 10 minutes from the border. So I had to fly her out, get her to Toronto, fly her to Atlanta, drive my car across, pick her up in Atlanta, and then we came down to Gainesville and the rest of the trip. Thank God for Florida. Redemption is here for all the northern. Anybody complains about Florida weather, you need to get right with God, okay? You guys have so much. Just go up north for about a week right now in February when it's 28 below zero. I was in Cold Lake preaching. I looked at the bank and it said minus 56. It said it's colder in Cold Lake than it is on Mars, okay? And that's in northern Alberta. Anyway, to make a long story, is anybody getting anything? So look at the scripture. Let me get to the text anyway here. Okay, so it says in Matthew chapter 14, verse 10. So he sent, this is King Herod, and had John beheaded in prison, and his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought it to her mother. And then his disciples came and took away the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. Now listen, this is important, okay? All 4 of the Gospels share about this here, 3 specifically, 1 John was already in there. It says this here same story. Now, I started off and got everybody's attention. We don't like the painful side. We don't like the process side. But how many know it's a way of life in a fallen world? Okay. And so the miracle, listen carefully, of the loaves and the fishes is right here. It's right here. And the loaves and the fishes specifically says, listen very carefully, they brought, because there was different times that Jesus multiplied. But in this one, it is brought out in all 4 of the Gospels, and it says this here, there was 2 fish, come on, there was 5 loaves, it says that, there was 12 baskets of leftover, and it said that, it says he lifted up his voice, okay, one says he blessed, the other said he thanked. If you look up the word bless, it literally means to invoke with thanksgiving, so it's the same thing, can you say amen? They set them down, they had order that was there, everything is exactly the same. There's no difference. There's no change. But why is it that the Son of God brought these illustrations out 4 different times? Because to God, it has to be. It's not an option. This is how we actually do life. And you know what? Many individuals, when you talk about this here subject, they get walls up. Okay? Now, here's Heaven's Trio. Are you all ready? Heaven's Trio is threefold. Trio means 3. Everybody say giving. Forgiving. And thanksgiving. Now, get a hold of this church. Get a hold of this Liberty. You can't operate with one and not the other. There you go. It just doesn't work that way. You can't even operate with 2 out of the 3 and then just wish something's going to happen. Come on. It's all or none. And when Jesus mentions it 4 different times, he's saying, listen, guy, you learn the principles from this here. Now, when we speak of giving today, the first thing that oftentimes will come to people's minds is about money. How many know giving is not about money? That's a part of it, but how many know there's a lot of other things that giving has to do that the church world needs to recognize? Is that not right? How about giving God the first part of our day? Come on now. How many know that's giving? Is that not right? How about this one? Give your whole heart to God. Seek Him with all your heart. And guess what? You're going to experience God. You're going to find Him. Literally find means experience God. Come on. Okay, and how about this one? Give your faith a daily boost by hearing. Do you know you already have faith inside of you? Is anybody born again here? Come on. How many know, listen, we hear this story all the time. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word. And how many know that's in the Bible? Okay, it's true. But here's what an Aramaic scholar who actually interpreted this here with me and shared. He said, Rick, the church is missing it in that. It says faith cometh. We're always putting it into future tense, and it says that. But he said, literally, if you look at it, faith is a part of the recreated spirit, just like joy is a part, peace is a part. It's all in us, but it might not be developed, right? But he says, when you hear the word of God, faith is awakened by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So in other words, we want to have an awakening today of faith. Amen? Amen. And that's in the first part of our day. And how about this here one here? We give to help others' dreams and then watch how God fulfills our dreams. See, we say this oftentimes. I'm sure Pastor Don has made reference. What we make happen for others, God will make happen for you. Is that not right? And really, when we get so involved, the Bible said the greatest in the kingdom is not the preachers. The greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. The preachers are here. We're here to serve you guys. Come on. That's really what it's all about. So we give God that. And then how about this here? Give God the first part of our income. Amen. Yep. Okay. And what are we doing? We're honoring God with the first part. You know, I learned that 45, 46 years ago when I got born again. And I heard a message. And you know what? I can preach this message today and say it works today because I've just done what the Bible said. Are you all with me right now? And God says we honor Him with the first fruits, so your vats are going to overflow. You know, a few years back, I turned 65. I'm going to be 70 this year. Okay, I still feel like a teenager. Okay, but when I was 65, I worked in the States for almost 14 years. For 14 years, before I went and planted the church over in Canada 40 years ago. So I worked, I paid taxes, I paid Social Security and everything else. And you know, every year or so, they would send me this paper and it said, you know, for your Social Security, you're going to be getting this here and this here. And I said, well, I didn't work long enough. I didn't, you know, wasn't there long enough to get any of this here, but they keep sending it. So anyway, I found out that they work on a point system. And I found out that I had 14 years was the exact amount of points that I needed to get a full Social Security check. Okay, but what I didn't know, what I knew I was going to get something, but I didn't know what. But what I didn't know is because Kathy is married to me, she also gets a Social Security check. Okay, you guys, people complain about, I'm just blessed that the U.S. sends me money every month. And I live in Canada. And they even sent me two checks for stimulus. And it's U.S. dollars. Our money's like Monopoly money. Your money's real money, okay? Okay, so listen carefully. So I'm on the phone with this lady from Baltimore or wherever she was at, and I said, well, listen, I appreciate it, but my wife's Canadian. She's not dual. She doesn't matter. She's married to you. I said, but ma'am, you don't understand. She lives in Canada, and she doesn't have a Social Security number. She says, well, we're going to make sure she gets one. Okay, I said, but ma'am, she's never worked a day in the U.S. She's married to you. That's all that counts. Are y'all with me? So I'm trying to talk the lady out of it, and here's a blessing that God has for me. I'm going to tell you what, those things just didn't happen that when I started the church at 29 years of age that I already had 14 years in, and never knew that I had the amount of points that I needed to get the full Social Security. Not just that, one of the biggest problems that the snowbirds have, and you all have snowbirds down here, don't you? Okay, everybody knows the snowbirds, okay? They're birds that fly south during the, and we're birds, we are, okay? And one of the biggest problems that they have is they can't get insurance, okay? Especially if they had a pre-existing, they had diabetes, a lot of them, they have to pay real high money, or if they had a heart attack or any type of ailment. And the older that they get, the harder it is to get the insurance and the more costs you get. Not only do we have Social Security, but we also have Medicare A and Part B. on top of that, and it just comes out of our check. How many can say amen? Amen. Okay, so I got to get rolling here, all right? Okay, so here, we also give 100% of our talents to God. In other words, we use them. We put first the kingdom of God, and we use our talents. I just love the musicians today. They did a great job in the presence of God today, okay? Because they spend time with God, and when they come in corporately, it comes in, okay? We also listen very carefully. We also honor our spiritual leaders. Come on now. We give honor to where honor is due. Come on. Okay, we give encouragement to the generations. We give forgiveness quickly and readily. We also listen very carefully, give attention to the public reading of the scriptures. That's very important to all of us. And we give our time daily to God to make the most of every opportunity. And finally, to me, this is one of the most important of all, is we give all the glory to God. It's not about Rick, not about Kathy, but it's about him. Are we all there? Okay? So now this is what you need to understand. So when we speak of giving over here, it says in the Bible, in the four places, it said that they brought two fish and they brought five loaves. And then it says there was 12 baskets of overflow. Now, why did he say five and two? Why didn't he just say six and three? Okay, or why didn't he say nine and one? Why didn't he do something like that? Because everything that God says, if he says it four different times, come on, then how many know everything he's saying is very significant? And so what is the number five in the Bible? I'm so glad that you asked. The number five literally means grace. Everybody say grace. Okay, what is this grace all about over here? What is this here grace? The word five over there means grace, but it also means mercy. Can you all say amen? Amen. It speaks about the compassion of God. So when it speaks about the five loaves, isn't it amazing in the Bible that there was five different offerings? Five, if there was five, then how many know five is a number of completeness there? Okay, they had the burnt offering, had the trespass offering, the sin offering, the peace offering, the gratitude offering. So there was five offerings. But how many know, listen carefully also, there was five elements to the anointing oil. There was the hin of the olive oil. Come on now. And then they had cassia in there, and they have calamus in there, and they had cinnamon in there. Come on. All these here made up the anointing. There was five elements that made up the anointing oil, and every one of them precedes something that goes on inside of our life. How many know, and I'm not going to get here, myrrh was one of the elements that they used, and myrrh was the anointing that they used for the burial. The whole life in the spirit lives by the exchanged life. We die and he lives. Can you say amen? The second one speaks of our aroma to God. The third one, listen very carefully, speaks of our entire life of worship before God. And the last one speaks of our dedication to God all the way. So five is very significant. And then we see two is also very significant. The Bible says, if any two on earth shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done by my Father in heaven. So the Bible says a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall cleave to his wife. The two become one before God. So how many know two speaks of unity? It speaks of oneness. So when it said the five loaves, the grace of God, the mercy of God, and another definition it actually speaks of is the favor of God is all there. Come on. But here's something else that we often that we're not aware of. There was 12 baskets that were left over. Okay, people use that for the aspect that the disciples went home and they all had something to bring to their families. I'm sure we could use that there, but listen, 12 speaks of the government of God. It speaks of the authority of God, and it speaks of the very foundation of God, and his throne is that of justice and mercy, and so it speaks of the government of God. So when Jesus is operating in this here, and they brought the five loaves and the two fishes, what are we doing? He's establishing now the government of God for your life, the favor of God for your life, the goodness of God for your life, the grace of God for your life is now being released because God's got what he needs to get it released in your life. Are you all with me right now? So here's how this operates. This is how the whole thing. 12, it's very interesting, again, is the number of the apostolic. Jesus didn't have 13 disciples. He had 12. Okay. Jacob didn't have, listen very careful, 11 kids or 14. He had 12. Is that not right? Israel's comprised of the 12 sons. Come on. All the way through, isn't it amazing? Revelation, there's 12 gates. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? 12 precious stones. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? 12 angels that guard the gates of the things. Yeah. Isn't it amazing? 12 huge pearls that make up the gates and the stones there. This is just amazing all the way through. And then it says there's 12, listen care, fruits for the different seasons of the 12 months for the healing of the nations. And that's all the way through. I mean, we could go all the way to 12 and go through. And one I forgot in 5, how many know there's 10 commandments? But how many know there's 5? 2 tablets, right? 5 and 5. Well, the first 5 all have to do with our walk with God. No idols before him. Come on, don't take the names, Lord's name in vain. Come on, honor thy father and mother. You say, well, that has nothing to do with the relationship. Yes, it does. The parents are given the responsibility to teach honor to their children. For number one, for God. Number two is for the rabbis. Number three is for the parents. Number four is for the other brothers and sisters. And we can go on and on. It was creating a whole culture of honor. And whenever that culture of honor is inside of our lives, you will always see advancement, promotion, and the blessing of God. Wherever there's a culture of dishonor, you will see an abortion of every good thing that God has for your life. Is anybody learning anything there? So 5 and 5. So first 5 have to do with our relationship with God, and the last 5 have to do with our relationship with one another. So 2, 5, and 12. Everybody stand up, okay? And say 2, 5, and 12. So tell your neighbor, be unified. Flow in the grace of God. Release the favor of God. And then the multiplication comes afterwards. Amen. You can be seated. Now I'm ready to start. Okay? Okay. Now that we've laid a little bit of a foundation over there. So to God, this is very important, the giving and the forgiving. Because the Bible says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them. When is it that you believe? When you pray. Believe that you receive them, and then it says future tense, and you shall have them. So from the time you pray to the time that you receive, there's an interim that goes on. I believe that there's some elements that's very important for us to hold on to during that time. I believe it's through faith and patience we inherit the promise. If you have a little bit of impatience operating in your life, then really the root issue of that is a lack of love. Because the first manifestation of love is patient and kind. So if you're unkind and you're impatient, then you need to develop the love. It's inside of you, but you need to get that developed inside of your life. The second thing that we need to hold on to during this here time is our hope. Our hope is not just a wishing type of hope. It's a confident expectation that good is coming our way. Can you say amen? And then perseverance. That's another whole message for another time. So what I want to bring out now is that the disciples heard about what happened to John. He was just beheaded. How many know the opportunity to be offended was there? Yeah. The opportunity to be bitter was there. Yeah. The opportunity to react to this injustice was there, okay? And so what did Jesus do? It says he went up and he got away by himself to pray because he had to unburden his heart. He was very close to John, was raised with John, grew up with John, and then saw the ministry of John. They weren't in competition with one another, but how many know they completed one another? Yeah. And so that's another whole story of it. But this is the point that I want to bring. Whenever you're going to move on with God, whenever you're going to move in and see the giving, you're going to have to always couple it with forgiving. I'm going to tell you, I've never seen a time in my life in Canada like I'm seeing today, when even from the highest positions of our authority is making people that are vaccinated better than people that are unvaccinated. Yeah, exactly. And so, you know, I'm not here to get into any bandwagons. I'm not here to get on that case or that case or this one side or that one side. I'm not about that. The Bible says that we need to honor one another and respect one another. Yeah. And so if somebody chooses to go this way, I'm going to bless them and honor. If somebody chooses to have this, I'm going to bless them and honor. I'm not going to be the ones that's going to be their judge and call the shots on their life. But as citizens, we have rights for what we do. Come on. And so that's another whole case over here. But listen, all those are hooks that the enemy uses to get us distracted from the future that God has. From the multiplication that God has. From the provision that God has. From the mercy to get us in to hurts and bitterness. Yeah. Let me just tell you, how many know none of us are exempt to these here things?
Yeah.
Did you hear what I just said? How many know Elisha, listen, was at a place, listen, when he knew that Elijah was going to go up, the double portion never came until Elijah was caught up. So what happened, man? He was isolated. He was by himself. And he had a guy, and Jesus took him up, but he was there alone. And so we can look at in our lives, we all have hooks, and the enemy watches our lives. And he plans. And let me just state this here. Usually, there's always a hook with families. Okay, that's why they make all the jokes about mother-in-laws are funnel, you know, all these here bad jokes, and they're usually not positive jokes about them, okay? Because there's always hooks that the enemy wants us to engage into to get us out of our faith. Come on. And if we can get us into bitterness, if he can get us into a judgment, if he can get us into a grudge, if he can get us into a resentment, then he succeeded in getting that hook inside of your life. And that hook is not just there to bait you. That hook is there to actually take you out of the race. Are you with me right now? And so the Bible says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. And then he says, and when you stand praying, come on, forgive if you have, come on, aught against any. How many know forgiveness to a believer is not an option?
Yeah, right.
Okay, it's a choice that we make. But let me state this here also. There's a process to that forgiveness afterwards. When Joseph had his brothers come, they didn't even know that was Joseph they were talking with. He had all his garb on from Egypt. He spoke fluently in the Egyptian language out there. They thought his brother was out of the picture. They had no idea about anything. But it tells us something about it. Their conversation in their Hebrew dialect, it spoke about, this is happening to us because of what we did to Joseph. The mercy that was extended to the brothers was not because Joseph wanted to. It's because they actually were remorseful and they were repentant of what they had done. And they had to live with that for those 22 years also. Can you say amen? And so we can develop that whole thing. That's why Joseph, when he saw that, he literally had to exit the room and wept. Come on. And then when he revealed, before he revealed himself to his brother, when he saw Benjamin, my God, he had to run out of the room. And it said you could hear him through the whole house. And Pharaoh could even hear him with the weeping because of the pain that was so deep on the inside. And when we've been through a painful experience inside of our life, I want you to know we can park there and we can stay there. I don't want to get into too much right now, but I'll state this. 2020 was one of the, and 2021 was two of the roughest years that we ever have. 21 even more so compiled. We experienced betrayal like no other time. Yeah. Kathy and I, and I'm talking about 40 some years in ministry, okay? And it was brutal. It was very, very painful. And it wasn't a distant person that caused it. It was right within our own household. And when it hit, it almost knocked me out of the race. And let me just be very open. I got bitter. I took the hook of hell. I took the hook of hell and got so angry and got so bitter. Kathy could tell you. She said, Rick, you need to deal with this issue right now. You need to deal with that. Yeah, I'm going to deal with it, okay? Okay. How many know our flesh wants to fix things? Maybe I'm the only one. Maybe it's just Canadian. You guys don't have these issues out there. But I'm going to tell you, and I had to go for personal counseling. I've counseled pastors for years, helped people for years, dug them out of their messes for years, and personally had to get help because the hook was inside me. Are you with me? Thank God that I can confidently say I'm not hooked now, okay? But I will state this here. I will say amen, amen. I will state this here. This is an area that most Christians that I know, and I deal with a lot of them, we forgive with our heads. But we don't forgive with our hearts. And that's why it's still there today. Okay? It's got to shift. Listen, when Jesus said, "Man
or not. My grandkids really like the movie Frozen out there. And what's the lady's name? She said, let it go, let it go, let it go. Well, how many know there's things in our life that we need to let go, we need to let go, we need to let go? Because if we don't let go, they're the things that will bring you down. I'm sensing right now, right here, right now, there's people that have been hooked like I was. And when the enemy springs a trap, it's usually not in a day. It's usually not in a week. It's usually not even in a year. It's over a long period of time that things are building up. Okay? And he plans it. But then when the right time comes and the right climate comes and the right situation, usually when we're tired, usually when a lot's going on, usually around Christmas time or Easter time, because then you got to see the relatives come on, is usually when those traps are usually sprung. Are y'all there? And I'm just feeling right now, when it's unforgiveness and it's in our head, it's always there. Kathy can tell you, all you want to do is talk about it. That's all you want to do. Are you with me? You just talk about it all the time. Why are you talking about it all? Because it's still there. Okay, when we let it go, we're giving it to God. Does that mean the memory of it goes? Absolutely not. Anybody that teaches just forget about it and just forgive and forget. How can you forget when there was an abuse that took place to your life? Okay, first of all, I'm not God. Okay, can you say amen? Amen. God can do that. He remembers our sins no more, but I'm not God. Okay, I'm still in flesh and blood right now. And so I just feel we need to pray right now. If everybody just bow your head in your seat right now. And if this is for you and that's in your head, the forgiveness, and maybe it just from the servant today, you recognize it's not just in your head, but it's in your heart what the enemy has hooked in. I want you just to stand. We're not going to embarrass anybody. We're just going to pray. I'm going to pray. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Just stand up wherever you're at, if that's you. Just stand up. We're not going to call a prayer line. Everybody's bowing their heads right now anyway. So I'm going to pray. If there's anybody else, last call, you just need to stand up. We're just going to shift this right now. Father, for all the injustices, for all the pain, all the hurt, all the sorrow, all the things that have just really been a scourge to the pain deep inside of our hearts, God, we acknowledge that before you, our God, today. We acknowledge the weeping that's gone on. We acknowledge the brokenness that's gone on. We acknowledge the pain that has caused us. And this day, Father God, as Jesus has freely forgiven us, so, Father, with the grace of God, the number 5, and the mercy of God to position us into the favor of God, we now release this from our hearts. We release it from our hearts, and we release it from our souls, and today it is debt cancellation time. Everybody that's standing, say, it's debt cancellation time now. I release the debt. I release the shame. I release the hurt. I release the resentment and its ugly tentacles from my heart. I forgive by my choice, and daily I will walk it out. And when the enemy wants to remind me of it, I will say the debt's been paid in Jesus' name. Now just receive God's peace. Just receive God's peace and receive God's restoration now into your soul in Jesus' name. And I'm hearing that somebody has been tormented to a place where you've actually entertained things of death. You've actually entertained things of premature death. And God's saying you're going to live a long life, come on, and you're going to live a peaceful life. You let it go today. That person no longer has control over your life, but God, because of your forgiveness, has positioned you now to be in control of your life. And everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated. Are you all there? Is anybody getting anything out of this? So we can give all, we can give our time, we can give our talents, we can give that. But if we got this stuff inside of our heart, it's just not going to work. Yeah. Come on. That's right. That's why we needed to get this stuff out of our heart. Jesus said this, have you ever thought about this? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and, come on, our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And then he says something, lead us not into temptation. Have you ever wondered what the temptation is? The temptation is unforgiveness. And I've done funerals, I've done weddings, and I can tell you, man, people seethe oftentimes at funerals with bitterness and unforgiveness towards the person that died or towards the one that's still there. The family gets together because they give the courtesy to come, but you can feel the tension inside of the air because the unforgiveness. And oftentimes, even at the funerals, they even pray the prayer of the Our Father, but it has no meaning whatsoever. It's just lip service to God. So don't allow the enemy to lead us not into temptation. Come on. We're not going to take his bait. We're going to get rid of that. Are you all there? So this is what I've learned. So let's go back to our text, and we're going to get started. Everybody say, now I'm ready to get started because we're there. All right? Okay. Let me just even state this here. Okay? The Bible says when you come and you bring your tithes, you bring your offering to God. All right? I think you guys take tithes up, don't you? Okay, our offering to God, all right? The Bible says when you bring your tithe to God, and there you remember, there went, when you come to worship God with your tithe, because that's worship, right or wrong, you're honoring God. It says there you remember, now listen care, that your brother has aught against you. In other words, you don't even have anything against them, but you remember that they have aught against you. The Bible says go to them and first be reconciled and then come and worship. Did you hear what I just said? Now, that's not Rick's opinion. That's Matthew chapter 5, 21 to 24. And there you remember that your brother has something against you. Leave your gift there before the altar. Go your way. First be reconciled to your brother. And then come and offer your gift. Come on. Many years ago, there was a guy in my community. And I've received this from my fellow pastors. I brought the Bridge and the Gaps together. Windsor is a border city, and there were some incredible prejudices that were there, racial prejudices and other discriminatory bad things that are there, okay? And when I came to Windsor, Ontario, the ministerial was called the Windsor Evangelical Fellowship. The president came to me and said, I don't like you, I don't want you here, and I don't want you to even be a part of the meetings. I said, well, God likes me, and God wants me to be a part because I'm a pastor in the city. And I just told him, and I went there, and it was not good. But my Afro-American brothers welcomed me into their fellowship, and they took me into their own, okay? Anyway, to make a long story short, years later, after being there all those weeks, months, and years, the president has a vision from God. And Barbara Yoder, Pastor Dawn, you're going to like this. Barbara Yoder prophesies. Kathy and I are sitting right where you, I'm sitting right here. Kathy's sitting right there. And Barbara's preaching up a storm. And she stops and says, this year you shall become the godfather of this city. And you understand it because of your Italian heritage. Wow. And went right on and preached. And I said, I elbowed Kathy. I said, this chick's out to lunch. She doesn't have a clue of what this girl's, of what's going on in this. She has no idea what's going on. Before God, within 24 hours, the president, longstanding, has a visitation of God face to face. And God says, get out of the way. You're long overdue from moving on. And Rick Cimiteros to be your predecessor. And he just like, oh my God, what just happened? He goes to his leadership, okay, the others, and tells them the same thing. That isn't God. They all prayed and said, it is God. And within a couple days, I've been stated now as the leader of it. But what they didn't know was that my African brothers were like flesh and blood to me. We are kin. We are tight. They love me. I love them. And man, we did things together. We did everything. And so I read the Constitution, and the president can pick all the ones that are coming in. Treasurer, vice president, all the one, the board. So I bring all my bros in with me to the first meeting. And I said, this is my friend, Bishop Riley, the president of Canada, of the Church of God in Christ, who is here with us today. And he is now my treasurer. And this is my dear friend, 84-year-old, Elder Smith, the most reverenced man that came up that anybody in Essex County knows about. And I said, he is on my board over here. And all the rest. So we had a great time. Well, they met me. The old leaders all came to me at the coffee pot. And they says, They said, you can't just bring these brothers in here. And I says, I perceive that you have an issue with the color of their skin. And I says, but I don't, and they're my brothers, and they are going to stay in here, and I have the authority to put them in this, and I'm not changing. And I says, and it would do you good to leave now. And they all walked out. Honest to God, too. They all walked out, and God built that up to over 180 ministers in Essex County and brought it all in, known as the Apostle of Reconciliation by all my Afro-American brothers today. Can you say amen? So I say all that, but hang on. There was another brother that was in my community, and this guy didn't like me. Everything I touched, God blessed. Everything he touched, he was struggling with. So I heard about, it was a very influential church, but I heard that they were struggling financially, so we sent them some money, okay? And it wasn't packaged. I found out that whenever people speak evil against us, send them an offering. Yeah. Just bless them. Hit you, it'll hurt you a little bit, but it'll be a painful. Come on. So, bless us. So over the years, what we did was, I believe the Bible when it says, blessed are you when men speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Right. If they're speaking truth, then listen, don't do that. But if they're speaking falsely, then just bless them. Come on. Amen. And it says, for great is your reward in heaven. Have you ever thought of that? They set up a reward for you up in heaven that you can't touch. You can't buy. Where does it say you can lay up a reward for yourself? And they laid it up for them. So if somebody laid up a reward for me in heaven, I got to go and tell them thank you. Can you say amen? So for years, and this is true, this is firsthand, for years in the city of Windsor, when churches would speak against us and people, we would just send them $1,000. Just bless them. Come on. And God in turn would bless us. So this one guy, I sent him $1,000 and he sends it back. And I will never repeat what he wrote on his letter. Okay, so anyway, I just stuck it in a file and just moved on. And a friend of mine came over one day from Halifax, Nova Scotia. And he says, how's it going in the city, man? I said, man, you're not going to believe. I said, God's bringing healing with all. I said, my Hispanic brothers are coming in. We're all working together in the community to see transformation, you know. And everybody's working. We're blessing this ministry. We're working with the POC, which is the Pentecostals Assemblies. They had a guy bought the old Mongo Murph bar, okay, where they had the longest bar in Windsor, okay, where they slide the shells down on the bar, the wood. Seriously. And he made that and converted it into a church, okay. And so we all got behind it and supported it. Started doing it. But I said, this one brother, man, he just isn't nice. He wrote me a nasty letter and he sent my check back. And so I went and I pulled the envelope, I pulled the letter out of a file cabinet. And when I pulled it out, I heard the voice of God said, shred it, get rid of it, let it go now. And I said, buddy, I have no business talking to you about this at all. Forgive me for that. I literally walked out of my office with my friend. We were going out to lunch. And my secretary tells me, she said, I just got a call from a leader, and he wants to meet with you. He wants to know if he should come over to his church or if he can come to your church, to our church, and he wants to meet you as soon as possible. I said, when did that? He said, you just called, just hung up the phone like 30 seconds ago. And I said, really? And so anyway... So this is how bad it is. Sometimes we have things inside of us we don't even know are there. How many have ever been there before? This is what I said inside. I never said this public, but I said this inside. I don't want him coming to my church because I don't want him to contaminate it. How sick is that? Come on. Some of the stuff that goes on inside, that's why God said, cleanse our hearts. Amen. How many? Maybe I'm the only one in it. Anybody ever said anything like that? Okay, thank you. You make me feel better, okay? That I'm not the only one. So anyway, the next day, I went over to his office, and I met with him, got into the office, and the secretary had me sit in. And then I'm there for about 2-3 minutes, and then he comes up, and he pulls a chair right up to where I'm at. And I'm like, what's going on here? And he says, Rick, he says, yesterday at noon, he says, I was in my chapel. He says, and your face came up before me. And he says, God said, you need to call Rick and you need to make it right and deal with this now. And I said, what time did that happen? He said, at 12 o'clock. He said, it was 12 o'clock sharp, because that's when I go in there. I have my lunch and then I go right in there and I pray. I said, guess what happened to me at 12? And I told him what happened with me with my friend. I said, I had that letter that you sent me, and I shredded it right there yesterday afternoon. And God showed me that my unforgiveness could hold somebody else back and put somebody else in prison. Okay? And so when we let it go, we hugged and we embraced and forgave one another. And you know what? He's still alive today. And every time I see him at conferences, now he's in his 80s now. Every time I see him, I go up to him and I say, could you just pray a blessing over me? And he begins to weep. He just begins to weep. And just lays his hands on me and begins to pray and begins to weep. Can you say amen? That's kingdom stuff. Can you say amen? That other stuff needs to all go. Are you learning anything now? So that unforgiveness, it just can't stay in there. And that little chip, that little attitude, that things, you know, spouses can carry things and build things up. You know, Joseph, listen, let me just tell you, he chose to forgive, but how many know he had a lot of hurt inside of him? And that hurt came out, man. That hurt came out. His brothers knew that that hurt had been there, and that's why they came and even lied at the end, the last time that he wept, that the Bible says, is when daddy had died, he thought Joseph was now going to take revenge. The only reason he didn't was because of them. Come on. Because his dad was around, but his dad's dead now. So they said, oh, man, we got to say that daddy sent us this letter. Well, how many know that was a lie? And Joseph knew it, and he wept. But by that time, he had purged his heart. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. So the last thing is, are you all there? So let's go to our text. I got to close you with this here. Anybody learning anything today? Yeah. Is this helping anybody? Yeah. So everybody say, I'm a giver. I'm a forgiver. And I'm a thanksgiver. Now, listen very carefully. Many, it's not working in their life, not because they're not forgiving and not because they're not giving, because there's another element that the Word of God says in four places, the same story over here, and we're going to go to Matthew, we're going to wind it down, that he shares about in closing here. Are you all there?
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm going to read. Let's all stand up as we close with this here. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. Everybody say great multitude.
Great multitude.
All four say great multitude.
Great multitude.
And he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is the deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the multitudes away that they may go into the village and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And they said to him, we have here only five loaves. Say five loaves.
Five loaves.
Remember, five loaves speaks of the favor of God, the mercy of God, but the grace of God, which is a divine empowerment. Hang on. And two fish, unified. Five and two is the number seven, which means divine completeness. All right? He said, bring them here to me. And then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass. He took the five loaves and two fish. And what did he do? He looked up to
heaven.
What did he say? He looked up to heaven. Do you know, listen, if you struggle with depression, if you're struggling with obsession, usually you don't look up, you look down. And when you look down, you're connecting with your emotions, you're connecting with your feelings, come on, you're connecting with your failures, but you're also connecting with the kingdom of darkness who is under your feet. But when you look up, you're tapping in. That's why it says, lift up the heads of those that hang down and let the King of Glory come in. Why? Because you're tapping in now to the creative side of your brain, which brings hope and release to your life. Good preaching. Thank you for the shouts, okay? So he took the five loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, okay? He blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. The word blessed means to invoke by thanksgiving. Okay, it says he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitudes. There's so many other things that I wanted to talk about today, but for time I don't have it. And there's another whole hour in here about what's in your hand. Okay, it doesn't matter how small it might be, what's in your hand. Zacharias said, despise not the day of small beginnings. What is the jawbone of a donkey going to do to 1,000 Philistine warriors? But in the hand of God, it wiped it all out. What is a cruse of oil? Come on now. And a little bit of what's the other thing? The oil and the bread, the grain. What's that going to do? It's her last meal, but yet it fed her for another year, her and her kids. Come on. What's filling up the water, listen, putting water into wine things. What's that going to do? Turn it in because God saved the best. And so what I'm saying is, it doesn't matter how little. Isn't it amazing of all the giving in the Bible, he makes reference to the widow's mite.
Yes, that's true.
That's why I love teaching on tithing from the standpoint it puts us all on the same playing field with God, because we're all equals before God. I like to say this, I'm no better than a one of you in the room. And truthfully, you're probably no better than me, but because of the cross, we're better than we used to be. Amen? Amen. Well, let me finish up, okay? He blessed it, he broke and gave the loaves to the disciples, and the disciples gave it, okay, to the multitudes. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments that remained. I want to just state this here. The multiplication never took place until gratitude was released.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, right.
The favor of God on your life, the Bible said, he that findeth a wife findeth a treasure and obtains favor from the Lord. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about the neck. Write them on the table. So shalt thou find it. It's there, but so shall you find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. The multiplication, the Bible says, let the whole earth praise thee. Let all of us praise thee. The word praise there is the same word translated thanks. David said, I will bless, means thank the Lord at all times, seasons, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Why am I saying that? Because thanksgiving sanctifies the atmosphere for every good thing God has. Okay? I'm just sensing we need to repent of murmuring. Everybody lift your hands up and say, Father, forgive me. For being a whiner and a diner with hell. You said the destroyer took out 25,000 in 1 Corinthians 10 because they murmured. This day, I see murmuring as sin, and I say, stop it. Mind, stop it. Soul, stop it. Patterns of old, whiners and diners of hell, we break it. And we will do all things without murmuring and complaining from this day forward in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. I'm almost done. Almost done. Okay. Okay. And so they all ate and were filled. Everybody say, we're all ate and we're filled. All four say that. So here, so it says, let the whole earth praise thee. And then it says this here. Then, the word then is translated 3,978 times, means immediately afterwards. Then the earth shall yield her increase.
Yeah.
On the other side of thanksgiving is always increase. Okay? I'll just state this here. I've been in Florida for about 6 days, I think. How many days is it, Kath? We've been down here since Saturday. So 8 days. We've been down here in 8 days. 3 days ago, we had personally given to our account, Rick for Can Ministries, the biggest gifts we ever received in our entire life of over 45 years in ministry. Are you with me? But it came on the other side of praise and thanksgiving. That's the only reason I'm saying that. Not to brag, not to boast, but just saying God is faithful to his word.
Yeah.
Amen? So it says, and it said, now those who eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. They didn't have any of the paraphernalia that we have today to stop birth control and all that like we have. Okay? We'll just leave that. So there's probably, I've heard and been in that region over there 21 times over there. Where the sermon was all done there, there was probably somewhere minimum of 20 to 30,000 people.
Wow.
Okay, minimum. Okay? And it says, now those that were eaten were about 5,000 men besides the women and the children. And they were all filled. And hang on, 12 baskets were left over. God's blessing of giving, forgiving, and thanksgiving comes not just to bless us so that we can be a blessing for someone else. The greatest joy in my heart and Kathy's heart is when we've been blessed so that we can be a blessing to someone else, that we can help someone else, that we can help the less fortunate. And you know what? For Kathy can tell you this here. She's had a women's treatment center that's been opened up for the last 10 years. And in that their home, it's probably the number one home that's keeping the highest rate of women from relapse.
Thank you.
And prevent in all Canada. Anyway, we're very happy about that, okay? But all the finances for our books and all the finances that we had made in the past for our traveling and everything all went into that woman's home. I say all that because what we reap now is directly related because of what we had sowed.
Amen.
Amen? And so, Father, as we go today, this is so simple. It's so basic. But just as I stumbled, just as I missed the mark, but made the correction, so thank you for the grace, the favor, and the mercy of God for all my brothers and sisters who may have stumbled, missed the mark, and fallen short. We're not here to condemn a one, but we're here to build them up. And God, may this here, you said the world of the generous. And we recognize it's not just money. We recognize all the other areas. It becomes bigger and bigger, but the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. God, may each of us come to a place of overflow that we are so blessed that we can be a blessing to someone else. But we recognize today that it's our mouth that will either seal it up or open it up. And we choose to keep an open heaven, just as we experienced in worship today, an open heaven. May it be done by the grace and the mercy and the favor of God over everyone here today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody's had a daughter that's been off track for a long time. There's a breakthrough that's coming around the corner. That daughter's coming back home. Let Pastor know when that happens. That daughter's coming back home. Start speaking faith instead of the negative stuff that you see with her. Start speaking faith. I had a daughter that her name was Tara, and I was in morning prayer with a brother one time, and he says, you know, I said, man, that Tara's a holy terror, you know? And he said, Pastor, you need to change your confession.
Yeah.
I changed my confession, and my daughter's been tracking with God ever since. She's over the largest women's home in Canada today, in Vancouver. And Kathy, check me if I'm wrong on anything. She works for the Union Gospel Mission over a whole department. They just raised over $44 million for her, who's the head of the center. Now, listen carefully, $44 million to build the first treatment center for women with their children going through recovery. There's no other home in Canada that has that. And this is the first one. And they built a state-of-the-art place that they just moved into a week ago. And it's totally amazing. And she's the one that doesn't have the qualifications. She doesn't have the education, but she has the anointing. And the anointing made room for her to get that position and that job. Can you all say amen? So, Father, as we go, bless each one. And may we never forget. Everybody say giving. Forgiving and thanksgiving. And look at your neighbor and say, if you see me slip, remind me to be giving, forgiving, and thanksgiving. And let me just state one thing. One of the things we said that we're to do for God is we're to give thanks for our spiritual leaders that are over us in the Lord. Let's give a warm welcome to Pastor Dawn for her spiritual guidance today. Amen.
Oh, you can sit down for a minute. Amazing. How many of you enjoyed that?
Yeah.
Besides getting it, I hope you apply this all to your life. This is awesome. But now I have to tell you how awesome God is. Well, we already know how awesome God is, but personally to me and to all of you, since you are here at Liberty. But this morning, for 2 years, and Janice Champagne can verify this because it kept happening to her, and we would send each other texts, 444, because every time we'd look at the phone, it was 444, which meant change. And so that happened over and over and over and over and over and over, and it was still happening. Until this morning before church, I woke up and I said, let me see what time it is, and it was 555. And I said, do you remember in his sermon what it means?
Grace.
Thank you. It's grace and mercy and favor and salvation. And I went, We're finally out of all the, I mean, we're going to continually be in the change, but the change that was so rough, how many thought 2020 and 2021 was rough change? That was some rough change, man. And remember, God said, take everything off the walls because I'm taking you down to the foundational truths and this is where you're going to come from. And so I have died 1,000 deaths, and I'm really happy to be in 555. Yeah. And we're staying there, and I'm believing God is just going to keep coming up. So, and then I had looked up this scripture for our tithe and offering today, and it was Proverbs 3, 9, and 10. Honor the Lord with your substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with the new wine. And then he quoted that. And so it's just like that in the spirit. When you have somebody that is tracking in the spirit with you and is hearing from God, and I mean, I consider him way above me, but I'm just saying it's nice that I'm on the same page. And yeah, we're on the same page with Jesus. But I want to tell you a little bit about why it's so important that we give to, he calls himself Pastor Rick, but we acknowledge you as an apostle. He oversees 1,000 ministers, 1,000 ministers. How many of you know that's a big job? Okay, he is on the board of ORU and of the Pentecostal churches in Canada and the other thing you talked about, which I don't remember the name of. CCJM, okay. And even as he talked, oh, and more. And I'm sure there's more underneath that and more underneath that. I'm just saying this. You know why? I mean, he is brilliant. You can hear that. But I'll tell you why God has promoted him. Because of what he taught you today, he kept his heart right. And whenever he saw that something was wrong, he did what he had to do in order to keep his heart right. And he's been a giver. And one of the things I knew when he came to this church, I go, he always brings joy. You guys always bring joy when you come because they won't stay in a state of anything else but joy because they understand the heart of God. And so It is an honor for us to be able to have this relationship and have them come to our church. But I want you to glean from both of them. Do you remember that Pastor Kathy also wrote the book on the cross? Like, it's this thick. She studied out the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross, the cross. And so if you ever wondered what happened at the cross, you can still get her book. And this is Pastor Rick's new book, The Secret Heroine of the Bible. Do we have copies?